A global effort is underway to develop and mass-produce an effective coronavirus vaccine. More than 170 countries are setting up the COVID-19 Vaccines Global Access Facility, or COVAX, to secure vaccine supplies. But the Trump administration said this week the U.S. will not participate because the effort is associated with the World Health Organization, which President Trump feels is China-centric. Let's bring in Helen Branswell with our partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. And Helen, the U.S. is working on its own vaccines, but what are experts telling you? Is there concern that the U.S. is not participating in this global effort?
People who work on pandemic planning have long assumed that this kind of problem would arise when pandemics occurred, that countries would move to protect their own populaces. And one of the things that everybody says about this, the Wellcome Trust in the UK just put out a statement this morning pointing out that the pandemic doesn't end when one country solves its problem. The pandemic ends when the whole world is able to contain COVID-19. And there's been quite a bit of dismay over how much vaccine the United States has locked down, and the fact that its purchases have prompted a bunch of other wealthy countries and the European Union to also get into bilateral agreements to buy vaccine. So at this point, more than 3 billion doses of vaccine have been promised to individual countries, which just makes it harder for the rest of the world to get anything, really.
This week, a panel of scientists at the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine released a draft proposal for distributing a coronavirus vaccine in the U.S. The vaccine would be distributed in 4 phases. Could you just briefly tap through them?
So the very front of the line is healthcare workers in high-risk jobs, and then people with 2 or more high-risk medical conditions. The second phase gets into people whose jobs keep society functioning, teachers and people living in homeless shelters, and also with people in prisons. The next phase is young adults, children, and other people working in some essential industries. And then the last is everybody who's left.
And just briefly, Helen, we understand some of the most challenging questions include whether Black and Latino, disproportionately affected by the virus, should be in the first phases. Thoughts on that?
They decided that the risk was not biological, but rather sociological. So what they did was to prioritize the factors as opposed to the skin color.
And Helen, while we still have you, more than 70,000 people in the U.S. are using this convalescent plasma. It's blood from people who have gone through COVID-19, so it has the antibodies in it. And they're using it as a treatment for COVID-19. Big blow up at the beginning of the week because the FDA pushed false claims because they read the statistics wrong about just how beneficial this was. I mean, what's the sense after the dust settled there from them overblowing the benefit? Is there benefit?
You know, convalescent plasma is a technique that has been used for decades. We just don't know yet with this whether it is contributing to survival or not. Until there are data from a randomized control trial, we won't.
Helen Branswell with our partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. Helen, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.